Hi, good morning, everybody. And let me echo Brian's thanks, both for everyone making the time and for the chance for us to brief you this morning. The state of Maryland and Governor O'Malley has really stepped up our response to the challenge and the many facets of the challenge that are posed by our Central American children seeking refuge from violence, arriving in the United States and arriving in Maryland. I'm going to ask Ted to talk for a couple minutes about sort of what we know about this population and what the process is for them.
Thanks, Anne, and just let me add my thanks to everyone who got on the phone on short notice. I know you guys have a lot of stuff to do, so we very much appreciate your time today. In 2014, over 30,000 Central American children seeking refuge from violence have come from their home countries and arrived here in the United States. Maryland's share of these kids from January through July is about 2,200 kids. Almost every single one of these kids have been placed with relatives that already live in Maryland. While there are fewer children arriving every day, the federal government estimates that the number of kids who may arrive from Central America could reach 60,000 by the end of the year. Over 9 out of 10, 92% of these kids have come from three countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. We know that we have significant communities in Maryland right now of these from these countries, and so we expect that the number will continue to grow. As these children arrive in Maryland, we're looking to reunite them with family already living in the state. According to the federal government, 90% of the children are released into the care of family already living in the state. And we know that so far, as Anne's going to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that we're doing and the state stepped up response, but we have seen an endless supply of compassion from and understanding from folks in the state and a very heartening response from folks who are willing to step up and help these kids as they're fleeing violence. So I'm going to turn it back over to Anne, who's going to talk a little bit about what we've done so far, and then we're going to give you an update on the meeting that we held today.
Great. So broadly, we've wanted to work with our federal partners. We wanted to be cooperative with other states, and we've also wanted to work with everyone who's come forward in the state as we think through what our response should be and how can we kind of support the ongoing needs of these families. I think we're overall keeping three really important goals in mind. We would like to see these children treated with compassion. They've been through traumatic experiences. Their future is uncertain. You can just imagine what that's like to be if you're a kid facing that situation. We would like to keep them safe, and we would like to keep them with family members, and if at all possible, do everything that we can to place them in families and not in larger group living situations. And lastly, we would like them to enjoy the due process, which is afforded to them, and to have time to make their way through federal legal proceedings. So in the first couple things that we've, the first two parts of that goal, we've been really heartened by the response of our faith community. They've been convened by the governor two times at the State House. They've come forward with a call to action, which continues to attract signatories to it. We have top leaders from virtually every denomination, the Catholic Church, Muslim, Islamic faith leaders, the Jewish community, and our Ecumenical Council. So that's been a key sort of cornerstone for our efforts. And our role has been really to try to coordinate as best we can the many different offers of assistance that have been coming forward. So we met with, earlier this week, Secretary Dallas and I convened a meeting of providers, and these are the folks who can play a role in some sort of either foster care or group living situations for these kids. We're going to tell you a little bit later on about the meeting that we had with the legal community, and then we see additional conversations happening around meeting basic human needs and also access to health care. So there's a lot of facets to this, and we're encouraging everybody, since this is a work in project process, to be using some of the tools that we've set up for coordination, including going to the Maryland.gov website, which will lead you to a space where you can learn more about the issue, what you can do, and can also capture if you have a particular interest in helping. You can elect to hear more and be in touch with other people who are trying to help. So that's a very brief overview of our efforts up until this morning. And then we were really encouraged by the legal community that came forward to talk about help. And I'm going to ask Ted to give the highlights from that meeting.
Thanks, Anne. Before I do that, I just mentioned that on Friday we held two meetings. These are a series of meetings that we're going to be holding with community stakeholders. We held them with residential services providers and foster care providers in the state, and they were largely centered around working with those providers on a federal grant opportunity for these children. As many of you know, there is a federal grant opportunity that closed today on August 5th where folks can apply to the federal government to provide services for some of these kids. So we had two meetings on Friday with some residential services providers and with some foster care providers. The third meeting that we had today was with the legal community. It was very well represented. I'd say we probably had 20 to 30 folks, maybe more, in the room, representing all parts of the community, from the pro bono community to legal aid to the ACLU to folks who are in private practice who just wanted to help. Today we began a conversation with them. We asked them what kind of needs they're seeing out there and what ways that, as the state, we can help convene resources and we can help them through that process so that these kids get a day in court as they're entitled to. We heard primarily three things from those folks today. We heard about streamlining the process. Is there a way that given the volume of cases that will go before judges here in Maryland, is there a way that we can work with the courts to streamline the process? And we got some helpful suggestions from them about that, some of them probably a little more on the technical side. We talked about the capacity for lawyers and how they can stand up and help if they want to, and how we can build that capacity of folks who have knowledge within immigration and other services, including housing issues and things like that. There are a lot of folks who offered to provide training who had experience, particularly on the immigration side, and we agreed to find ways to help facilitate that. And last but certainly not least is awareness, and that is for the families that are hosting these children right now and for people in the community, getting the word out of how we can connect lawyers who want to help with the people who need those services. Going forward, we will be holding two more categories of meetings with stakeholders as we're building the information that's on the website. The next two will be one that we're calling basic economic needs. Those are things like clothing and food, and we expect members of the faith-based community and other community partners to be heavily represented during that meeting. And the last meeting we'll be holding will be in relation to health care for these children.
Great. So any organizations or individuals wishing to get involved in any of these efforts, again, should visit the website, which is maryland.gov. We're going to continue to meet with key stakeholders and providers. We think we have a good idea of what the needs of these children are, but every meeting we've had so far, someone has come forward with some really helpful thing that captures the particular perspective of these kids. We do envision setting up some kind of mechanism to link these families who need assistance with the capacity and the desire to help. But overall, we're gratified that so many people from all parts of Maryland have reached out, come together. This is a true public-private partnership. And again, we aim to keep in mind that it's our goal to keep these kids safe and treated with compassion while they're with us. And we're happy to take your questions from this point.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Anne. And before we begin questions, I just want to quickly spell the names of our speakers. That's Ted Dallas. It's T-E-D Dallas, D-A-L-L-A-S. Anne Sheridan is Anne, A-N-N-E. Sheridan, S-H-E-R-I-D-A-N. And Anne, again, Director of Governor's Office for Children. Ted was the Secretary for the Maryland Department of Human Resources. And if the operator can repeat the instructions for calls, that'd be great.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. And we will pause momentarily to allow questions to enter the queue. And our first question comes from Michael Dresser of the Baltimore Sun. Please go ahead.
Yes, Secretary Dallas, and was wondering, are there any plans for the governor himself to kind of come forward and speak about this issue in Maryland in a news conference or other form?
I think the governor has already he's played a big role in giving us direction. He's already and has made his views clear. I think that beginning with the meetings with the faith-based leaders that we had a couple weeks ago, he has been engaging with various stakeholders, and I know he's also been having conversations with folks at all levels of governments. Today we're here to talk about some of the direction he's given us to put together services and help convene the community to help these children.
And we'll take our next question from Kate Ryan of WTOP News. Please go ahead.
Hi. I understand that right now you're looking at some of the legal issues involved, and the effort is to keep these kids in with families or in smaller settings. But I know there had been discussions, at least Montgomery County officials have said, there have been discussions about housing kids. Is there going to be one centralized place at any time in Montgomery County? Has a site been identified?
So there, the governor has been clear that he prefers and thinks the best place to serve these kids is in the home. The first avenue for us is placing these kids with family members already in the country. The second is in federal foster care. And the third is, if need be, in small congregate care or group home settings. There will be there won't be one central location in the state for these children. There are a few providers that are stepping up and providing services. When they go to these congregate care facilities, they spend generally anywhere from 1 to 30 days there before they're placed either with a family member already in the country or within the federal foster care system. In terms of Montgomery County, there is the federal grant opportunity that I mentioned there. I know that Montgomery County teamed with a nonprofit provider to submit an application, but ultimately the decision about placing kids in Maryland is made at the federal government level from the Office of Refugee and Resettlement in the Department of Health and Human Resources. So that grant opportunity closed today on August 5th. The Montgomery County, along with a nonprofit provider, submitted an application. It will be up to the federal government whether they choose to award for that application.
Do you know who that nonprofit provider is?
I think we have the name of it, but I don't know it off the top of my head. We can follow up with you and get you that.
And we'll take our next question from Joy LaPola from Fox 45 News. Please go ahead.
Hi. Secretary Dallas, as well as Ann, I have a couple of questions. Could you just walk me through the process of how these children arrive here in the state? Is the state contacted by an agency with the federal government saying come to the airport? How exactly does that work?
So it's a great question. The important thing to remember when you're dealing with these kids is that they are under the federal government's jurisdiction. So they're not. It's not like the foster care system in Maryland. So, you know, we operate. My agency runs the foster care system in Maryland. We have responsibility for those kids. We place them. We do the screening for foster parents. All that. All those services. These kids are under the jurisdiction of the federal government. So that Office of Refugee and Resettlement within HHS, they are the ones making all those decisions. So they have, for example, when you're talking about whether it's a congregate care setting or foster care setting, they are engaging in direct contracts or direct grants with those providers, right? That happens outside of the Maryland process. Our job is largely related to a couple of things. It would be related to licensing any facilities that are awarded under the grant and working with the families that where these kids are reunified with family members in this country, working with them to provide support services and make sure that kids have access to an attorney, they have access to other basic needs that they might have. So it's a really good question because a lot of folks, it's not 100% clear, but a lot of these kids are entirely under the jurisdiction of the federal government.
At which point does the state find out that they're either coming or they're already here?
Well, we know that they're here now, and the numbers continue to grow. For us, it's the federal government. You know, we have liaisons with the federal government who talk to us about the overall numbers and the relationships they're having with providers, and we work with them on almost a daily basis to make sure that we're coordinated. But most of the placement decisions and the individual details of where the kids go, that's all under the purview of the federal government.
Okay, and I have one more question, if I could ask it.
Okay.
As far as, and this is going back to what Kate was asking about, do you have an entire list of the different applications that have been submitted regarding this federal grant?
We know some providers who were interested in doing it. I think the federal government's probably a better source for the folks that put a formal application together. We know some of the ones that were interested, but the federal government's probably a better source for who put the proposals together or moved them forward.
Okay.
And our next question comes from Kelsey Luz of Frederick News Post. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have kind of a two-part question here. Are you aware of any efforts on the ground to place children in Frederick County homes? Like, for instance, are you working with any agencies locally here in Frederick County? And my second part to that question is, does our participation in a 287G program complicate efforts for those children here?
Okay, so the first one, I'm not specifically aware of any efforts or proposals from Frederick County. Doesn't mean that there aren't ones. That this is, again, it's primarily a relationship between the federal government and that provider.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are folks all across the state who are interested in helping everyone from private citizens to community groups, but anyone particularly or any group particularly in Frederick County, I'm not personally aware of. And I'll have to admit, I don't know what a 287G group is.
Oh, yeah. So what that is basically our sheriff's department is deputized to enforce immigration law.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if that's not something that you've been talking about and not made aware of, I'm not sure if you would be able to comment then. But, so basically it's just the our department has the authority to enforce federal immigration laws, which is different from other counties in the state. So,
I'm probably not the best person to talk about that.
Okay, sure. Well, thank you.
Sure.
And our